Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gawaza, and for today, we're looking at an industry that is near and dear to my heart. That is the radio, / broadcasting industry. It's one of those industries that has been going through a number of changes over the last decade, and one sort of sees that it was a sort of a perfect cocktail of I don't know whether we can call it disasters, but of change that's happened over the last year. And for today, we are going to be chatting to probably one of the, outside of the SABC, they're probably the best known in terms of some of the brands that they have. They are home of 947 as well as Cape Talk and 702, and that's none other than Prime Media. And for today specifically, we're going to be talking to Trish Taylor, who is the Chief Broadcasting Officer at Prime Media Broadcasting, just to understand what's actually going on their side of the business, how are they navigating, and some of the issues that are actually plaguing the industry as a whole, and how they are innovating to actually, stay in business, keep the lights on, and keep the industry moving along. So Trish, greetings to you today.
I'm Ondiwe. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us. I think a good place for us to start, as always, we usually try to get a sense of the organization, and at least from a consumer, point of view, your organization is quite well known, and especially because of the brands that you guys, are home to. So maybe you can give us a sense of, Prime Media Broadcasting, in particular, because I understand there's different sides of the Prime Media business, what you are specifically looking after, and who's actually underneath your particular universe.
Thanks, Mdiwa. Yeah, well, my role is Chief Broadcasting Officer. So effectively, my role is to look after all four brands. So we've got two brands in Cape Town. That's KFM and Cape Talk. KFM is a music station, Cape Talk obviously a talk station, and then Johannesburg 702 and 947, which you're probably very familiar with. So that sits in my ambit as Chief Broadcasting Officer. We have station managers that report into me, and so effectively running the radio brands from a business perspective. We have other departments like marketing, research and insights. We've got a sales division. And other key sort of service divisions to the broadcasting business. But that's effectively the sort of role that I play. And, what we do, our currency is literally, ratings and revenue, is how do we increase audiences, not only on the terrestrial platforms, but also our digital platforms. And then, how do we attract revenue to our brands?
Now, when it comes to, the way that the landscape is, set out at the moment, I think at the beginning, we did highlight the fact that the industry as a whole, what people consider to be traditional media, print, radio, television, et cetera, there's been all of these changes, especially as people move to digital, and all of that. Now, given the fact that you guys operate these four large brands that are, sort of household names across South Africa, does that insulate you guys in any way in terms of the changes that we've been seeing? We've seen a number of traditional media houses, especially on the print side, folding, getting out. We hear about the issues of revenues, advertising, etc. So does having big brands protect you guys from those issues, or do you sort of struggle through the pain like everyone else?
Look, I think that we all have to evolve, that's for sure, and we can't just rely on kind of big brand status. And so from a radio brand perspective, what is wonderful about radio as a medium is that it's actually a very versatile medium. It's a very versatile platform. And so what radio is able to do is able to kind of transition and partner or link with technology fairly elegantly. And so I think that that's where, radio from a future-proofing perspective and being able to adapt into kind of, you know, as you quite rightly put it, this kind of chaotic changing world that we're finding ourselves in, is not only highly relevant, but it's absolutely important in terms of radio survival. And so I think that's actually quite an exciting space for radio as the, you know, technology platforms are exploding. You know, we're able to neatly, as I say, connect with those particular platforms quite elegantly, not only from a content perspective, but actually from an advertising perspective as well. So radio effectively is becoming quite a multimedia platform, where obviously, yes, we connect to listeners via terrestrial, but if you think about the amount of platforms even our presenters use in any given broadcast, it's, you know, there are multiple platforms. And so what these kind of digital platforms enable us to do, we're able to continue telling stories, we're able to continue broadcasting content well beyond the kind of duration of the actual traditional terrestrial broadcast, which actually makes it really, really exciting.
And when we think about the way that radio is set up at the moment, then what do you make of, I guess, COVID-19? This is the classic question that everyone is answering about. What was the impact of COVID-19? Because, you know, people are at home and the dynamics change. You're no longer, you don't have the commuting beginning of day, end of day traffic anymore. But at the same time, people are at home looking for more information about it. And you guys, from a news point of view, you know, you're delivering news, etc. So how do all of those dynamics play out for you guys?
It's been fascinating, actually. Obviously, work from home listening has gone up exponentially. And that's something that we've had to take into account in terms of ensuring that, you know, our entire lineup is as strong, you know, as strong as it can be, first and foremost. And then the desire for news, and from interestingly, the desire for news from a radio platform is also on the increase. There is, you know, the efficacy of radio in terms of brand trust is very high. And so what we're seeing through, you know, not only studies that we've conducted, but actually global studies, we're seeing that brand trust with radio is actually increased. And so, you know, what we're able to do is certainly make sure that we're constantly are relevant to the kind of changing needs of our listeners in, you know, the various positions and states they find themselves in. And we're also finding, you know, quite a big change in how people are consuming radio in terms of the devices that they're using. So streaming, as an example, has increased. Our podcasting downloads has increased. And so audio in general as a platform has really shown exponential increase across the world. And so, you know, once again, we do a lot of research. We have our own research and insights division within Prime Media Broadcasting. And, you know, what has been very key to us is also to ensure that we are tracking, you know, what listeners want to hear, not only from a music perspective, but from a content perspective. And what we are finding is that there are particular topics that have become a lot more relevant than we've seen, you know, prior to COVID. So as an example, things like mental health is at the top of everybody's list. And so you can see how a brand like 702 and Cape Talk will absolutely prioritize things like mental health and make sure that our programming and our content reflects, you know, mental health and really helping people that are struggling under lockdown conditions. And so that is just, you know, a example. Economically as well, you know, people are struggling. There are, you know, numerous jobs have been lost. People are looking for opportunities to make money. So you think about, you know, programs like The Money Show, where, you know, The Money Show on 702 and Cape Talk have introduced new features to enable people to, you know, to look for opportunities to, you know, make money in non-traditional ways and entrepreneurial ways. And so we have to be alert to, you know, the changing conditions of where our listeners and consumers find themselves.
And over the last year, one of the big things that has happened was you guys had a lot of changes, particularly at 947 and at 702. And I think, you know, depending on where you sit in the industry or whether you're a consumer, someone might ask, you know, was 2020 or this pandemic period really the right time to to make, you know, the changes that you guys did? So maybe if you could talk to us about what the specific changes were and why you felt you were still able to go on with the changes, especially at a time when businesses were sort of in that fight or flight, we just need to make sure we don't rock the boat sort of mode.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Yeah, Madiwe, I mean, if you look at 702, there were major changes. They weren't just tweaks. You know, there was a station that we effectively relaunched 702. So not only from a lineup perspective, but a new logo, a new payoff line, and a new positioning. So it was a complete overhaul of 702. And we felt that, you know, it was time from a sort of brand life cycle perspective. It was a very good time to kind of relaunch 702. And actually, what a perfect time to do it at a time where, you know, actually the listenership on talk radio globally as well as in South Africa was actually on the increase. And if anything, it was the perfect time to relaunch 702. Obviously, not an easy feat in lockdown conditions. But really all credit to, you know, station management as well as the presenters, you know, really understanding their role as talk radio presenters and the importance of talk radio at a time in South Africa. And so the changes were significant, and it really, I think, energized the teams at 702, and the response from listeners has been overwhelming, actually. Absolutely overwhelming. I think the other step change in 702 was that it was important for us from a positioning perspective that, you know, 702 was really a audience enabler. And what I mean by that is that, you know, what 702 stands for is really we want to walk the talk. So we hold authority to account. We don't just broadcast current affairs and broadcast the news, but really the role is to not only hold authority to account and get answers, but also to, you know, unbox the complex. So how do we unpack the complex for our audiences to understand and for us with our listeners and with various stakeholders to learn from one another, but also to unpack complex subjects in a way that's meaningful and relevant and most importantly useful for listeners. And that utility part is really important. And so how we went about once again repositioning 702 is that it was almost like we wanted to be the pocket coach for our listeners and audiences. And that would be, you know, obviously a co-created journey with our audience as well as key stakeholders.
And then on the 947 side?
So 947, the changes that we made some changes to our music through lots of research. Once again, being very alert to the changing needs of our market. The other thing was the breakfast show. So obviously Anele still being the major brand on the breakfast show, but we just changed the name to Anele and the Club. And that was really to once again highlight Anele as the sort of front face of 947 and obviously that particular show. And then obviously we also got a new PM drive show, afternoon drive show with Thando Tabete. And what a fantastic addition to the lineup, as well as a few other presenters that have joined us. But that was some of the major changes on 947. And once again, you know, the sort of internal tracking work that we've been doing has been fantastic. And with the addition of Thando Tabete, it was interesting to see, you know, just how, you know, not only how our audience welcomed her, but actually how the radio environment welcomed her. Even our competitors were interviewing her on their shows, which is fantastic. And once again, good to see the radio industry coming together and really celebrating a fantastic talent in Thando.
I want to take a step back to the digital conversation that we were having earlier on, and also, I guess, to some extent, COVID-19. But I think this issue of digital, new versus old platforms, etc., because you did mention a couple of the brands that make up, let's say, 947. You've got Anele, you've got Thando Thabete on the 702 side. You know, you've got the Bruce Whitfields, you've got Bongani. So from that point of view, what sort of role, at least in 2021, do you think a broadcasting house takes or should take when it comes to creating brands or, you know, managing the brands of, you know, the people, you know, that are in, you know, that are spearheading their programming? Because back in the day, you knew that, okay, fine, we are a station, this is the show, this is the lead anchor, etc. You go in. But now there's this social media piece where a lot of these presenters will garner their own audiences up into the millions, you know, for some of them. So how do you reconcile, I guess not even reconcile, but rather, like, you know, where does the station start and stop, and where does the presenter and their, you know, brand or influence begin or end, or, you know, do they intermingle? Like, how do you guys think about things like that?
Look, we work very closely with our presenters. You know, times have changed where, you know, a presenter comes in and kind of does their show according to what, you know, they would like to do. Obviously, we take advantage of their particular skill set and their own individuality. But what we do is, when we map out the strategy of the radio station, we also map out the strategy of every single show. And that is really something that we co-create with presenters. So it's a wonderful dynamic journey in which what we hope to attain is an alignment between, you know, what the brand, the actual radio station stands for, and the individual shows, and also ensure that there's some kind of brand alignment between kind of the mother brand and also the presenter's brand, and ensure that there is a good fit. So even as part of our recruitment drive on, you know, brands like 702 or 947, you know, we look very carefully at, you know, how a presenter or a person is showing up in social media and how they are taking care of their own personal brand, and to ensure that there is that kind of organic brand synergy between the mother brand and the presenter brand. And obviously it's something that, you know, we have ongoing conversations about, in terms of, you know, ensuring that we are protecting the brand and that there's brand integrity both ways. And, you know, and I think presenters get that. I think they get the importance of, you know, not only protecting the mother brand, but their own brands. And so we actually work really well and in sync with presenters. And obviously we're very grateful for their huge followings, because, you know, they will highlight their particular shows and draw their particular audiences on their platforms to their show on air. So it's a really dynamic partnership. And we work, as I say, we work in partnership with our presenters to ensure that, you know, it's a mutually beneficial relationship both ways.
And the other piece that comes with the issue of digital is that we are in a sort of like a data crazed type of world, you know, because live streaming, social media, all of these platforms are usually good at measuring things. How many people listened to this show? How many people did that? And being a person who's in radio myself, I understand that analog radio, that measurement is never really, at least in the last couple of years, it's a bit wonky sometimes. So from that point of view, stations weren't measured using the BRC, you know, over the last year. So when you're communicating value, at least to your business stakeholders, advertisers, etc., how do you measure that, right, in the current environment? Because they probably want to know, okay, if I'm going to put something on 702 or I'm going to put something on 947, how many people are going to listen to it? What's your audience? You know, will I get my return on investment?
Look, I mean, a critical part of our radio brand's efficacy and effectiveness is getting results for clients. I mean, that is absolutely key. And And unfortunately, we've got, great clients and loyal clients, and they do get results. And so that's first and foremost what we look for. From a BRC RAMS perspective, you're right. It is the kind of industry currency that hasn't been available. As I mentioned earlier on, we've got our own research and insights division. And I think what is absolutely key is that we can't, we cannot guess what listeners want. We have to ensure that what we play from a music perspective through to content topics, through to the shifts in our market, we've got to be close and we've got to be sensitive and alert to, what those needs are. And so we have a fairly robust panel through our research and insights division, and we do a whole variety of different studies, ongoing tracking studies that we have access to, that we're already able to, ascertain if a radio station's on track from a strategy perspective, how listeners are perceiving the stations, is that the listenership growing? And obviously those kind of insights we share with advertisers, we share with, our various partners. But at the end of the day, it's about, do clients get results for their ad spend? And then that's something that obviously is very, very closely monitored in conjunction with our on-air teams, with our ad agencies, and with clients. And that's key. And obviously, the kind of multi-platform approach to ad campaigns as well is also key. So, we're doing a lot of digital advertising that is linked to on-air advertising and are able to tell brand stories across multiple platforms. And I think that kind of multi-pronged approach in telling advertising brand stories is absolutely key. And we've seen that the effectiveness of that in terms of even integrating advertising messages into our content as a station, and how effective that has been for for various advertisers.
And then as we are rounding up and sort of coming to the end of the discussion, the other piece of the digital, because we spoke about that evolution, we spoke about the return on investment and mm-hmm. the measurement that goes into it. So from that point of view, then when you guys are engaging with advertisers, I'm curious to understand, how have the conversations around metrics evolved over time? Because there's a RAMS that have always been the traditional, but now with social media, etc., between 947 and 702, there's at least 1.1, 1.2, million followers just on Twitter alone, right? Is that something that advertisers are, looking at to say, want to capture that audience, or is it still about the listenership, from that point of view? Because you guys do have a big following yeah. across YouTube and, all of these different platforms.
Correct. I mean, even the following on EWN as well is extremely high. And so I think that what advertisers are looking for is, how responsive our audiences are, because that's effectively the acid test of where they should invest, is how responsive the audiences are. So, looking at the responsiveness of our audiences on multiple platforms is really key to ascertain the stickiness and the relationship that the radio brands have with their audiences. And for us to, be able to track that kind of stickiness across multiple platforms is also key. And as I said, I think what we do as well as an advertising company is look for opportunities to, put our clients' ad messages in as many environments as we can, and that is suitable for their particular objectives.
And as we end off, I think we've got about two more questions, that we wanted to touch on. Firstly, given everything that we've said, for the naysayers out there, the ones that believe that traditional media is on the way out, is radio dead?
Radio is very much alive. And I mean, obviously as a radio advocate, it's like, well, of course I'm going to say that. But if you have to actually look at the trends, I mean, and we look at the data all the time. If you look at radio listenership in, first world countries, third world countries, on the continent, off the continent, I mean, radio is penetration is on the up and up. And if you think about audio platforms, so you think of everything from the smart speaker through to platforms like Spotify, through to podcasts, is audio is very much in, you know, audio is very much the craze. And so for us as radio brands to position ourselves very strongly amongst those platforms is absolutely, you know, key. And also that's where our expertise lie. You know, our expertise lie in audio. Our expertise lie in being able to manage audio channels. So actually, this is an extremely exciting period in the innovation and the evolution of you know, radio as a brand.
And then, you know, I like the fact that you do say that radio is not dead because, you know, I think just given everything that's going on, just at least from my perspective, people do seem to still have that soft spot, you know, for radio, at least in their lives. Like, people still listen to radio. And unlike TV, where sometimes you sort of have to sit and actually watch and listen at the same time, that casual listening and also the hardcore listening for people that are listening to talk, it does seem as if people still have that appetite. And if not anything else, it's still growing.
Yeah, Modiwa, you're absolutely right. And you know what it is? It's kind of that brand intimacy and that brand trust and that brand credibility that people are desperately after. And if you think about, you know, some of the mistrust in social media and fake news, etc., our tracking studies are showing us that brand trust in our radio brands and radio in general are on the increase. And so you want to listen to your favorite presenter and what they say is, you know, is accurate. You want to follow them. The news services that we run through EWN have very, very high credibility scores. And it's an intimate medium. And so people want to listen to it. People want to engage in it. And as opposed to, you know, other media types where you can't engage, you know, you can't engage with TV or with print, where radio, there is that live engagement and there is that kind of constant feedback loop. So, you know, if anything, that intimacy is getting closer and closer in terms of the relationship that the radio brand, the presenter has with the audience is actually as close as ever, which, you know, once again shows that radio is certainly not dead. It is evolving, it's growing, it's expanding and getting into all sorts of innovative spaces.
All right. To tie everything up, because we are a business platform, you know, we have to ask, it's two things. It's firstly, as Prime Media, are you guys actually making money? And then the second bit that's tied to that is there room for other players to come in? We understand, you know, we sort of had that last license that came. I think it was given to Power a few years ago, etc. But is the radio revenue pie still growing? I think that's it.
Look, I mean, it's the COVID period has been tough. You know, it's been tough for all media. It's been tough for radio, and it's been, you know, it's been tough for us as well. And so, obviously, we're starting to see some real uptick in the market, and we're starting to see new categories of advertising, new categories of advertisers coming on board, which is fantastic. So. And that's what, you know, we are, you know, focused on as well is those particular categories of advertisers that actually have done extremely well in these sort of COVID times. So it is a fight in the marketplace. Absolutely. Do we have to show up and, you know, have our game face on and be the best? Absolutely. So it's extremely competitive out there. You know, make no mistake. I think everyone is out there fighting for the ad rand. And are there places to expand the radio market? You know, if you look at, you know, what's happening in Europe with DAB and the expansion of DAB, it's actually, you know, increased listenership and increased revenue for those stations. And I think at the end of the day, it's about relevance. It's about what markets particular radio brands serve, whether they're community brands or, you know, public service brands or commercial brands. It really is about, you know, how does radio super serve the market? And if radio brands are super serving the market, there will always be an expanding market.
All right. So that was us with Trish Taylor, who is the Chief Broadcasting Officer at Prime Media Broadcasting, just giving us some insight into how their business has been operating. They are home to KFM and Cape Talk in Cape Town, as well as 947 and 702 over here in Gauteng, giving us some insight into, I think, one of the big messages she's been trying to drive is that radio is not dead, and that people are still listening to the radio. And if anything else, there is a growing desire from audiences for more credible news, especially in an environment of fake news. But at the same time, just acknowledging the fact that all of the changes in consumer behavior and rise of digital platforms has been affecting the industry as a whole, and exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, and also businesses just tightening up some of their advertising budgets, all of these things, it does affect the industry as a whole. But she does say that they are excited. They do see growth. And I think one of the nice things that I noted from what she was saying is that, for as far as they're concerned, they sort of see the old quote unquote and new parts of the business as, you know, sort of working together, the social media and also, you know, the terrestrial that we've been used to. So that's been it. Thank you so much to Trish for being with us.
Thank you very much.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Radio is one of those things that I've been close to, one of those industries I've been in and, you know, being part of. And especially when you think about some of the new media like these podcasts, etc. You know, I've been a broadcaster for a number of years, I think about 9 or so years now. So it's an industry that we've seen growing over time, and we've also seen some of those changes in light of digital, etc. And I think one of the big pieces of, can I call it opportunity? One of the big opportunities out there is just that convergence, because the opportunity with radio, especially when one looks at the rise of podcasting and new platforms like that, is the fact that when it comes to radio, there can literally be a convergence. There can be a multi-channel approach to what radio is. If you look at some of the biggest radio stations in the world at the moment, and some of the biggest radio shows, I can point out something like The Breakfast Club, which is one of the biggest hip-hop radio shows in the United States, part of Power 105 One's lineup. And they have a huge following on social media, and in some cases, they have a big audience in terms of just the videos of the interviews that come out of their shows, for example. So from a radio business point of view, you're able to make revenues from the advertising that is against, let's say, The Breakfast Club as a show. But at the same time, you can make extra revenue from, let's say, YouTube. And at the same time, if you get sponsors or advertisers for the podcast version, all of those different properties, then it all then grows, and you then have your anchors or your presenters, the conversation we're having with Trish about having those brands and that alignment, and you can, you know, start parlaying all of that stuff into events, let's say workshops, you know, hostings, all of these different things that can help a radio station to earn extra income just from one particular property. So way back in the day, a breakfast show, a lunchtime show, a drive show, you made money off of advertising just on its own. From that, there's all of these different opportunities that are there for radio stations at the moment. But it does take that willingness to try out new things and actually invest in some of the new platforms, just so that you can capture the new audience that may not necessarily be a part of the core terrestrial or traditional audience, but at the same time, you can show your traditional audience that you do have that appetite and that ability to look in the future and actually change how you do things. So there is a lot of opportunity, and especially if people take that digital opportunity and marry the different worlds, use your Twitter, use your Instagram to drive engagement, get more people to listen. You can open yourselves up to different types of audiences, have that live social media, live on radio, video type of experience. So lots of opportunity. Good to see that businesses in the space are embracing what's going on. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.